สสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะบุตถังธัมมังสังฆังนมัสสามิ
So this evening is the Saturday night, and it'll be the last night I'll be here for a while. I'll be off to Thailand tomorrow, and I'll be back in about 4 weeks. It wasn't until about 7 o'clock or so that it was actually sure that I was going to be leaving. It's been a real scramble. So the Dhamma of anicca, of uncertainty, has been sort of playing. Well, a full deck of cards, actually. It's actually always helpful to have these things which are, it's very clear. Yes. Everything really is uncertain. Everything really is unsure. The illusion of control is just that. It's just an illusion. And because there's, we can pay lip service to the teaching of the Buddha that it's all impermanent, uncertain, anicca, it's all unsure. But to really recognize it, especially when it's right in your face, and you say, well, yeah, that's the way it is. Because the reality is that's the way it always is. It always has been that way, and it's just that there is a certain pattern of consistency, and we think things are stable and certain and constant in some way, but it's just like that for a while. And then it's sort of its true nature displays itself, and that, of course, is that inconstancy, uncertainty, unsure nature. So to be able to really take that on board, and whether that's in external conditions or internal conditions, to be really contemplating that, to be really accepting and reflecting on it. Because when we're very open and ready to recognize and accept that, then, we can be at peace. That whether we were able to follow through on what we thought was a plan, it's fine. And if the plan falls apart, then that's fine also. And so that, the Dhamma has a very practical application in ordinary circumstances, in day-to-day life. And you realize the teaching on the worldly dhammas is for really interacting and dealing with the nature of the world. And when we say nature of the world, that includes ourselves, and it includes us. It's not just some abstract world out there. It's sort of this world of our experience. And it's the way it is. And it has praise and blame, it has gain and loss, it has repute and ill repute, it has happiness and suffering. And those are the fundamental characteristics. And the nature of the mind, of course, is to, we have a preference for praise and repute and gain and happiness. We don't want the other side. Or the other side of blame and loss and ill repute and suffering. We think, something's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. Something is really amiss. There's been some failure there. If you're able to get all the other things, then you're a success. And if you don't get them, then you're a failure. But the reality is that the nature of the world is to have all of those worldly condition, worldly winds. They shift and change. They manifest in different ways. They have their causes and conditions. And to be able to just being attentive to those causes and conditions, and being willing to reflect and investigate. How do we be at ease and at peace with these conditions of the world, the worldly winds, not be blown about with them? I remember spending a rains retreat in Daodam Monastery on the border of Burma, and the kutis are built on. There's only three. There's only three kutis, might be four. Three kutis were built in this forest. It's on a ridge. Because that was, you wanted to have in the rainy season, it rained so much that to have the kutis in the forest, it just gets too damp to be pleasant. So that they're on the ridge, but they're a bit exposed. Remember one, and you'd have these storms come in, and very strong winds. And I can remember one time sitting in this storm with a wind buffeting the kuti, and it was just this sense, this is like the worldly winds. And it's just this kuti being buffeted, and then reflecting, wow, it's good we built these kutis really solidly. Because if they weren't built solid, they'd be blown down. It was really to be able to withstand the winds. And you know, similarly, you know, for us in practicing Dhamma, to be able to have the tools to withstand the worldly winds, and just the fundamentals of practice, the aspects of sila, samadhi, and panya, of virtue, of concentration, of discernment. To have the virtues of generosity, of patience, of loving kindness and compassion, of equanimity. And these are the when we're well established in these virtues, these wholesome qualities, then they are the foundation that allows us to withstand the worldly winds. So that this is it's an important aspect of practice, because we don't have, you know, we recognize the truth of anicca, of uncertainty, then we don't have a there isn't as if there's a program or an agenda or a schedule that they're set up to display themselves. They display themselves in their own way, and one has to be have a solid foundation to withstand those worldly winds. And if there's to be able to recognize, well, these are worldly winds, and even if one gets blown off course or blown around by them, then it's sort of to be able to just say, oh, well, that was worldly winds. That was just the worldly conditions. One doesn't have to create a story around it, create a drama around it. It's just those worldly conditions, and there's always fraught with the possibility of a blame, of loss, of ill repute, of suffering. It's just part of the worldly conditions being displayed. So that we can just, again, just recognize, well, that's the way it is, and reestablish ourselves. Reestablish in ways that we can be at peace with whatever the conditions, however we find them. So that these are on a certain level, one can say that they are, you know, oh, this is just a ordinary piece of practice, a fairly mundane aspect of the teachings. But because it is so pervasive it's a really interesting window to be reflecting on, because one can really start to pay attention to what are the reactions internally, you know, how is the mind moved, and then what's the reason why it's moved, what's the reason why the mind is shaken by things. So then we really get an opportunity to see more clearly, well, where is the work that still needs to be done? How did I trip up on that one? How did I miss my shot on that one? And so that it's a very practical, and one gets a reading back on one's practice very, very quickly with that. So that this angle of reflection and investigation using the eight worldly winds, eight worldly conditions, is a very helpful mirror for understanding what moves the mind. I think it's in the Theragata, verses of the elders, these poems and verses that written by senior monks at the time of the Buddha. There's verses of the Teras and the Teris, the monks and nuns, and this one is, and it's usually it's the verses of inspiration on seeing the Dhamma or on realizations, and where they've put their feeling and perspective into verse. And there's, if I'm remembering correctly, I think there's one set of verses where a particular monk is marveling at the results of the insight and liberation, and the result being this incredible firmness and steadiness, where it's like a solid rock that is like a yojan, or a league wide, a league long, a league high, and it's not shaken by anything. It's just solid. And saying this is what the mind is like, having seen the Dhamma, having penetrated the Dhamma. It's not moved by any. The winds of the world are not going to move it. And it's a very beautiful image, because it is easy to be moved by the world. The worldly conditions, just to be criticized, or to have some kind of loss, whether it's a material loss or loss of one's maybe family, or some kind of loss in some way, and this ill repute, not being losing one's so-called position or status, having some kind of suffering. It's all tends to be personalized so much, and we end up, it's very painful. And in reality, when that's on the so-called negative side, but the so-called positive side, it just moves moves us just as much, the sense of, you know, being praised and having gain and having repute and happiness. And, you know, the mind can get excited, it can get puffed up, it can get quite kind of addicted. But that's just being moved, and we, you know, and it creates the sense of self kicks in, the sense of me and the story that gets behind it. And you think, well, all of that is just being moved by the worldly winds, and that you recognize, well, the place of being unshaken, not being moved by it, not being dragged into it, not buying into the storyline. You realize that's immediate peace, immediate sense of refuge. So that that's something that is worthy of cultivation, worthy of paying attention to. So this evening is, I'll be leaving, and just to wish people, to the community, to use this reflection on the worldly winds. One of the things in particular is just for in community life, in our interactions. That's one of the ways of really preserving communal harmony, is to not be drawn into the worldly winds. Find the ways of Dhamma that allows us to just live together harmoniously, and to practice, take the opportunity that we have to practice. So offer that for reflection this evening.